Welcome to Grind.
Grind.
Sell.
Sell.
Elevate.
Elevate.
With your host, Tizer Evans, a podcast dedicated to bringing you the top minds in all areas of business, entrepreneurship, sales, and leadership. Let's elevate together.
Thanks, everyone, man. Grind, Sell, and Elevate. This is your host, Ty, and I'm here with Fletcher Ellingson. Thanks, Fletcher, for joining me on Grind, Sell, and Elevate.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah. Hey, anytime I get to talk to another small town guy, I can appreciate it. We were talking a little bit offline. And the amount of people I've encountered in my life that are from that town of 5,000 people like myself, it's rare.
It is rare, right? Not too many of us.
It is. I know. But I feel like it's always like that birds of a feather thing. You know, it's like we always kind of really understand each other. Irrespective of where you come from in the country. But Fletcher, if you could introduce yourself, who you are and kind of a little bit more what we're talking about today.
Yeah, you bet. So first of all, thanks for having me on the show. My name is Fletcher Ellingson. I am the creator of The Practice of Feeling Good in Business and in Life. And who I am is a clearing for people to feel safe, heard, and empowered. What I do is I help people radically change the way they think. As a result of that, they're able to produce outstanding outcomes in their health, wealth, and relationships, which they previously did not have access to. And that's me in a nutshell.
Man, that's a tight nutshell. I like that. So, you know, Fletcher, kind of unpack a little bit, like where did you start? I know you're from a small town in Washington. I'm assuming it's a town that you kind of grown up in.
Nope, it isn't, but I've lived here and raised my family here. I've been here for, I don't know, about 22, 23 years. So this is my home now. Yeah. I grew up in Washington State and, had an opportunity to move out to this glorious place called Chelan, Lake Chelan. And anybody who visits here, they're like, oh my gosh, I would love to live here, but how can you make a living here? It's only 5,000 people. So I figured out how to make a living, and so glad I did because I love it.
Oh, absolutely. So where did that kind of start? Where did your journey start is what I'm interested in hearing kind of, you know, I understand. And I think everybody understands now what you do and kind of what you're about, but how did you get there? What's been your journey to get to where you're at today?
Yeah. Well, Tizer, it started in third or fourth grade at an assembly at my elementary school. I had a guy with red hair come in, and he was a, you know, motivational speaker. And whatever he said that day to that fourth grade Fletcher impacted me. And he sent me home with a sticker, and I put that sticker on my bed frame, and it said, start the day with a PMA, you know, positive mental attitude, and expect something wonderful to happen. And I'm telling you, that is what started me on my personal development journey. In elementary school, I was reading not the usual books. I was reading The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale, some light reading. And it, you know, my life has taken lots of twists and turns, but personal development, the power of positive thinking, visualization, that has been my constant companion. And it has allowed me to create the health, wealth, and relationships that are in my life today and that I'm so grateful for. And now I get the very big honor and privilege of helping entrepreneurs really take their business, whatever it is, to that next level, not only their business, but their personal life. Because Tizer, wouldn't you agree that our business life and our personal life are pretty heavily intertwined?
Oh yeah. It's a constant overbleeding.
Yes.
And, you know, people that say that, like, you know, when I walk home, I cut it off. I'm like, I don't know who you are, cause I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get that. Like, you're a sociopath to me, cause I can't do that. Like, it all bleeds over.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so I created The Practice of Feeling Good because I really do assert that when we are in a place of feeling good, and when I say feel good,
I was yelling at the kids.
Okay. Sorry, no problem. And when I say feeling good, I don't just mean like happy. In fact, I very rarely use the word happy. What I mean is feeling connected, secure, inspired, open, willing, ready, courageous, these ways of being that feel good to us. And because what I've found out and discovered is that when we feel good, we have access to progress. And as if you're an entrepreneur, that's what we're all after. We want this consistent level of progress in our business and our personal life. And I just know from, and all the science now, which is wonderful, comes out and supports this. When people feel good, they have access to progress that you don't have when you're feeling fearful, worried, guilty, ashamed. And so while it sounds simple and obvious, it is, but it's not easy to cultivate this type of mindset that's required to put you in this position of living from a place of beauty that gives you this access to progress.
No, I totally agree. And I know that most don't, just from my own personal, obviously, relationships, and having managed people. Sorry, I've got a 5-year-old that's melting down somewhere in our house. Poor little Nixon, I think, just had a run in with his 7-year-old brother Knox. sorry, it's super distracting because I'm like, this little guy.
We can take 5 if you need it.
Oh no, it's all good. I'll just edit. This out and kind of get off to where we're. I knew this was gonna happen, man. Every time this is because I'm gonna edit this, we can just talk about it real fast. It's like I tell them, hey, go outside, play basketball. It's without a doubt. And my wife, said she's an entrepreneur, so she's down in her office downstairs. And then it's just like, shit happens pretty quickly. So let's recap, if you could, Fletcher, what we were just kind of going over.
Yeah. So we were talking about when a person's operating from the place of feeling good, they have access to progress. Yeah.
All right. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, Fletcher, about progress and feeling good is I know that it's hard for people to jump into this state in and out of the day, especially when you're in sales, right? You can go in this state and it can be easily taken out of this state. So how do we do, or what are tricks we can do to get in this feel good type progress or in this feel good type state?
Yeah, excellent question. So number one, when we go out of our peak state, it's because we just got distracted with something. We began thinking about something. So it really comes down to managing your thinking, right? And there could be a distraction, like a 5 and 7-year-old in the other room, or maybe
exactly.
Or maybe it's something that you're just worried about. Maybe you're worried about a relationship, or worried about a deal, worried about a client, or worried about your health, right? There's all sorts of things that can pull us away from what we're doing now. And so worry is a big one. Worry is huge. I mean, if you're listening to this, raise your hand if you ever find yourself worrying or stressed out, right? When we do this, you just cut yourself off or diminished significantly your access to progress. So what's happened is you've just split your thinking. So like if you think of an irrigation line, for instance, if you put an irrigation line out and you've got one sprinkler head, as soon as you turn that on, that baby's going to pop and it's going to have massive flow, right? Lots of power. But as soon as you put a second one on there, you'll notice that there's a bit less flow and a bit less pressure to the first one. Add a third one on there and a fourth one. Now you're pushing the limits of the optimal performance, right? Or not pushing the limits. You're actually degrading it at that point because now you're splitting the flow. That's the same thing happens to our thinking. So when you notice your thinking is off, it's the practice of, right? It's the practice of coming back. Oh yeah, hold on. Because usually when we get distracted, like by worry or stress, we're worrying and stressed out about something that actually hasn't happened, right? We're worried about the what if. What if that happens? What if I lose that deal? What if I don't get this done? We're worried about the what ifs, and the what ifs are always happening in the future. And Tizer, does the future exist?
No.
It doesn't, right? All that exists is this moment right now. This moment I'm speaking to you, this is the most important moment to me right now because it's the only moment that actually exists. So what I have been able to do is become more and more practiced at living in this present moment. The more you can operate from the present, the greater access you have to progress. I'm going to say that again. The more you can operate from the present, the greater access you have to progress, because you're literally operating in the only moment that exists. Now, I'm not saying don't plan ahead. I'm not saying don't think about the future. I'm saying don't worry. I'm saying what we want to do is we want to take ourselves out of worry and out of stress, because worry is simply a biological and emotional response to something that hasn't happened yet. So you can see, like, that's a waste of life energy, like literally a waste of life energy. And it's taking you away out of the flow state. Now, that brings us to the next thing, because you said, like, how you asked me what we can do about this, right?
Right.
Now, a lot of people, and I just caught myself saying, well, don't worry, you know, stop worrying. You can't stop anything. I'm going to say that again, because I really want people to hear this. You cannot stop anything. What do I mean by that? Well, you can see in my hand right now, I'm holding this Altoids, little Altoids container, right? Little mint container. And Tizer, if you say, hey, Fletcher, stop holding that.
Fletcher, stop holding that.
Yeah. Well, I have to respond to you, Tizer, that it's impossible for me to stop holding it. I can't stop anything. You're saying, well, what do you mean? Just let go of it. Oh, that I can do. I can let go. But see, that's a different action than holding. So if you want me to begin a new action, and that action would be releasing the grip on this Altoids tin. And as a result of that, now it falls. But do you see that? And this is a small distinction. And some people say, well, like, God, Fletcher, you're full of it. You're just talking about semantics. No. It's not at all. It's a very, very important distinction. We tell people all the time, stop doing that. Stop saying that. Stop thinking that. The mind, that does not compute in the mind. It confounds the mind. How do you stop something? It's impossible to stop. You can only begin a new action. So if you said, when my thinking is split, like I gave you the analogy earlier, if my thinking is split, what I need to do is to begin thinking a new thought that's different from the one that's causing me the stress and anxiety, right? So it's not that I'm stopping worrying, I'm beginning to think something different. I'm beginning to and the thought that I'm gonna think is, hey, you know what? Life always works out for me. That's gonna take care of itself. I've done that before. I know how to do it. I'm resourceful, capable, and flexible, which is one of the things I say to myself all the time. Tizer, I am resourceful, capable, and flexible. I may not know how I'm going to accomplish that, but I know that I'm going to. And do you see that's quite a difference, right?
It's a startling difference.
Yes.
And I'm a huge proponent of positive self-talk, and because I think it, in the way, you know, I'm a huge proponent of feeding yourself, your subconscious at all times, and your conscious mind.
Yes. Yes. Right?
And there's a lot of people that are not going to come from that same type of school of thought and have not conditioned themselves to catch themselves real time, because, you know, I've meditated so much as I'm yelling at my children, as I'm telling myself, I missed my quota, I'm a piece of shit, like all these things, right? I'm catching myself real time doing it so I can pivot, reframe, and have the experience that I really want to have for my higher self.
Yes.
A lot of people have not coming. A lot of people aren't coming from where you and I are coming from.
Yep.
So what are practices or things they can do to be more conscious of the monkey mind that's regurgitating the same thoughts every single day?
Yeah. So one, and again, some people may roll their eyes when they hear this, but affirmations are huge. And because what I'm a proponent of is reprogramming your mind. I'm all about brainwashing. Look, we have all been brainwashed. We have all been programmed. Yep. The thing is, that all happened while we were growing up and in our early ages, I'm sorry, in our early years, and we didn't have squat to say about what we were brainwashed or programmed with. Now, I understand how the brain works, so I am actively reprogramming my mind. And so some people say, well, what, you mean just by affirmations? Start there. That's a great place to start. You see, I have programmed my mind. I have said this affirmation so much that it's impossible for me to not believe this anymore. But I'm resourceful, capable, and flexible. All that I need is within me. I mean, I've said that to myself so many times. I've written it on my mirror. I've written it in my journal so many times that when I come up against a challenge, that's one of the first things that surfaces in my mind. I'm resourceful, capable, and flexible. I may not know how I'm going to do this, but I know I'm resourceful, capable, flexible, and I know it's possible. I'll find a way. That's empowering. That's a big thing. Now, do I still get negative or disempowering statements, things, thoughts that come into mind? Sure, they do. Because my mind thinks by itself. That's the other thing people need to understand is your mind, it thinks by itself without your permission, without your consent, and without your approval. It thinks 24/7. So like I always tell my clients, like I would never want my mind. If my mind was an actual person, I would never want my mind on my team because it is constantly hurling insults at me, right? It's constantly self-doubting. But I've learned to manage it. And I've learned to, because now when my mind comes in with an insult or self-doubt or self-criticism, it now triggers me. It triggers my positive empowering incantations and my affirmations. And that's a cool mind hack, right?
It is a super cool mind hack. I love affirmations. I think they're very powerful. There's something that I've made part of my morning ritual for the last 5 years. So I'm a huge proponent of them. You know, one of the things that you did mention early on is it visualization. And I'm more of a proponent of visualizing. And for me, and this is something that maybe you want to elaborate on, and I think it goes hand in hand with affirmation. But when you visualize something, right, your mind cannot distinguish the difference between reality and what you think. Yes. And it's the same thing with affirmations. So if you could expand on how those two things go hand in hand and help clients and yourself.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. Your mind cannot tell the difference between what's real and what's not. Really? So again, some people I know are hearing this like, what are you talking about? Well, let me give a perfect example. When you go to the movie, right? And now we can go back to the movie theaters. When you go to your movie theater, you get your popcorn and your drink and you're sitting down and the light comes up and it starts playing your movie. You know, you're focused on that movie. And 10, 15 minutes in the movie, you're laughing. You're having a really good belly laugh about something that happened on the screen. And then 15 minutes later, you might be starting to tear up and starting to cry, feeling sad. And then another, you know, 20 minutes later, you're on the edge of your seat and you're like, oh my God, I'm scared, right? And then, you know, 2 hours goes by, the film ends, the lights come up. You just have this roller coaster of emotions. And you were responding to something that was not remotely real. Your mind had real emotional reactions where you laughed, you cried, your heart rate increased because you were scared. Why? Because your mind was focused on something, and whatever you focus on in your life, real or not, you feel. Whatever you focus on, you feel. And then your mind takes all that information that you just saw and it stores it as a memory. Not as something that was false, but as an actual memory of something that happened. Now, if we understand that that's how the mind works, man, could we harness that? Of course we can. And that's what the top athletes, that's what the top actors, that's what the top people in any profession in sales, that's what they have harnessed, the power of visualization. You're probably familiar with I think it was a famous study and it came out of Stanford. I think it might've been in 1974, or maybe it was 94. Anyways, it was, but what they did was when they had access to mapping the brain. They brought in some pianists and they hooked their head up to all these devices so they could map the brain while they played this particular piece of music. And Then they looked at the results. They could see what areas of the brain were lighted up when they were playing. And then they brought the same people back, but there was no piano in the room. And they said, we want you to visualize yourself playing that same piece of music. And Tizer, the exact same parts of the brain lit up, because the brain cannot tell the difference between what you're imagining, visualizing, and what is actually real. And if we could harness that, can you imagine the potential that we could tap into?
It's really unbelievable. And one of the other things that you said, and I wrote down as you were speaking, is focus on the feeling. And I was hoping you could elaborate on this, because I think that so many of us unconsciously go through experiences and don't understand that we assign our emotions, our feelings to the circumstance that happened in our lives. And then that derives from our identity and our behaviors and our habits. So if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever you focus on, you feel. So, all right. So if you were, and when we're focused on something, what we're usually focused on, we think it's like this external thing, right? Like, but what we're actually focused on is the meaning that we're giving the situation. We're focused on a particular story. That's why we're crying. That's why we're laughing. That's why we're scared, because we're focused on a story that's, you know, we're not, look, if a dog was chasing you all of a sudden down the street, if you have a fondness for dogs and you see a dog racing towards you, you might turn around and be like, hey, come here, Pooch, come here. Come on, come on, come on. But if you've been bitten in the past and you have a story that dogs can't be trusted, and you see a dog racing toward you, you might be scared, like, and just start take off the other way. And right. Like, oh my God, I'm running for my life. Right.
Yeah.
So our emotional reaction is based on the story that we are focused on. And then that creates a chemical reaction, because an emotion is simply a chemical reaction in the brain. That's all an emotion is. It's a chemical reaction that's resulting from the story that you are focused on. So if we know that that's the case, what a fantastic opportunity we have to rewrite the stories of our lives,
yeah.
To rewrite the story of your marriage, your relationship with your colleagues, your relationship to finances. Like that's what I help my clients do. We rewrite the story of our life. And instead of like, oh, victim this, victim that, no. I'm stronger because of that thing that happened to me. And life is always working out. It always has, it always is now, and it always will. Good things are lined up, stacked up, and showing up daily. Right? All that I need is within me now. I mean, create an empowering story, and that will draw you into action based on the story. It's pretty exciting.
And it's very exciting, because, you know, typically our story is lead us in a certain path and direction. Sure. Right. And this is where like the hero's journey that Joseph Campbell, what Jordan Peterson are talking about, you know, going back to the ancient Greeks, this is what they were talking about. And we're meant to live a life of extraordinary adventure. And I want to read you this quote, because it's something that I just read it this morning, actually. And it so reminded me of the situation. The more we blame our situation on others and external events, the more we remove ourselves from experiencing the change we so desperately desire.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I love that, because instead of trying to blame others and shirk our responsibility, man, if we embrace it, even if it's uncomfortable, and just trust that this situation, as uncomfortable and yucky as it may be, is actually here to serve me. I'm actually going to learn something from it. This situation is actually going to aid me in my personal development, all right, in my continued evolution, consistent evolution. I just did this podcast with some folks down in LA a couple of days ago, and his motto was consistent evolution. And that's
all this, right?
Right, exactly, right? So yeah, I love like the hero's journey. Yeah, not the victim, the victor, the hero. And that comes from, and the reason we love heroes so much is because of what they have come through. They have overcome adversity, right? They have evolved. When we go to that movie and we want to stand up and cheer for the hero, right? It's because of what they have become. It's who they become. Well, that's the opportunity that we all have when we are faced with adversity. So instead of shirking away and blaming and trying to avoid, wow, what would happen if we literally said, this doesn't feel good. I'm not saying it's got to feel good. It doesn't feel good, but man, is this going to help me evolve and become stronger and more at better at whatever it is I need to become better at?
Yeah, I think this is a good, as we kind of start to wind this down a little bit, Fletcher, I think this is a good kind of transition into something you and I talked about offline, and talk a little bit about how does that correlate with your value system? Because I do think that those kind of go hand in hand. So if you could elaborate on what a value system is to you and how that may be misrepresented or misunderstood in today's world.
Yeah, you bet. So I have a particular keynote speech that I do give, and it's called "Your Values Don't Mean Jack." And I'll give you an example, okay? You know, because lots of companies spend a lot of time developing their values, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we need mm-hmm. our core values, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm about to say may strike people as odd, but we all have the exact same values, all of us. In fact, you and me, Tizer, we have the exact same values as the mafia and drug cartels. No joke. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, I need to find, or when they're looking for love, I need to find somebody who embraces the same values. That's everybody. You just described every man and woman, because we all value freedom. Do you value freedom?
Yeah.
I agree. How about family? Yeah. Do you value family?
I agree with that.
Honesty?
I agree with that.
Integrity?
Yep.
How about financial wealth, financial freedom?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Loyalty.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, these are all the values that everybody has, including the mafia and drug cartels. All of them.
Especially loyalty.
And you got it, right? We all value creativity and, you know, that can do positive. We all have those same values, because a value is simply an indicator of preference. A value is nothing very special. It's simply an indicator of preference. Now, let's get to the good part. Values are important because they indicate a preference. But the thing that really breathes life into your values, and the thing that I want to really pay attention to, and the thing that I encourage my clients to, and this is the thing that actually moves the needle, right? Because look, people who are sitting on the couch and living a very sedentary lifestyle, you know, they still say they value health, but they're not doing anything for it, right?
Right.
Or the person who says, I value financial, stability, but you look into their account and they have $0 in their savings account.
Yeah.
There's a disconnect there. And that disconnect is around their standards.
Yeah.
It's the standards that are literally breathing life into the values. You may have values, but your values may be effing dead. They may be flatlined. The thing that is going to breathe life into them are your standards. You see, because a standard is what you're willing to settle for, right? A value is a indicator of preference, and the standard is what gives it legs. And so the person who says, I value health and fitness, and I have a standard of running X amount of, getting X amount of exercise a day or a week, right? Or I'm eating mostly live foods, you know, mostly a plant-based or whatever it is, right? Something that is in alignment with their value. Your standards, what you're willing to settle for, if they're in alignment with your values, then your values are going to rock. But if your thinking and your standards, what you're willing to settle for, is not in alignment, then I don't care about your values. In fact, I don't care most about values because we all have the same ones. What I really care about is, if you're going to be on my team, I want to know what your standards are.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely does for me, because you're talking about, hey, at the core principles of what we're all searching for as a basic necessity of life, we all agree.
Yep.
It just, there's varying degrees of how we live that life that we all are trying to accomplish. And you know, health, I think, is a great way. And I don't mean this to be crass or insensitive, but if you look at what we went through the last 2 years with COVID, 78% of people who died of COVID had four or more core morbidities. They did not raise their standards on their quality of their health, plain and simple. You know, maybe there was some under, I don't want to be insensitive to say there's circumstances some of those people couldn't have helped, right? But there's a lot of things when it comes to diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. There's a lot of these things that we can control, but our standards are not there. Like you're saying, we all like to think that we're living a healthy lifestyle, but then are our actions and our standard of living in alignment with where our values are? I totally understand. And I think that a lot of people are completely misaligned with health, wealth, spirituality, even mental health. I think that this is why we're seeing the degradation of our society start to melt down, and we're reaching for straws with almost a victim type mentality of, pay attention to me because I'm hurting, I'm in pain, because we haven't taken accountability and raised our standards as a society. And now we're starting to kind of crumble and reach and point the finger. Now, that's just my perception of shit. You know, yeah. I didn't, it just kind of all came out in the podcast, but I think that's just where we're at.
Yes. Yeah. And the last thing I kind of want to say on this is that I didn't know what my standards were for myself, for my life, for a long time, until I actually understood what a standard was. And I got this distinction between values and standards. What I want other people to hear that are listening to this is, if you haven't identified your standards, it's not your fault. If you say you value health and relationships, but your relationships are swirling the drain, you know, it's not your fault. And what I mean by that is, because in our schooling, we're not taught this. We're not taught personal development in school. So hardly anybody sat down and said, okay, I'm a fifth grader. Let's see, what's my standard going to be around my health, wealth, and relationships, right?
Yeah.
Even in college, these are not conversations that we're having. We're simply operating out of the programs that we were given and developed as children. So if you're listening to this and you don't know what your standards are, no problem. Look, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And now you have the opportunity to begin to say, I'm going to get clear about what my standard is for my health, wealth, and relationships. I'm really going to actually get clear and write it down. Like, I know how much I want to be making. I know how much is in my savings account. My bills are paid ahead. Why? Because there was a time in my life where it was my standard to be overdrawn, to be late on stuff. Not anymore. My payment, my standard for my bills now is, I'm always paid 3 months ahead on everything. Like, that's my standard. That seems crazy. Yeah, it might be crazy, but that's my standard. That's what I'm willing to settle for. You know, I know in my health, I know as far as where my fitness goes, I have a very clear standard about what this machine called my body is going to be capable of. And when we can get clear about that, we suddenly are taking responsibility for our life. And when we take responsibility for our life, we have access to power. And that's what everybody wants, right?
Beautifully put. That is exactly it. When you take responsibility, ownership of your life, accountability of your life, you empower yourself to change your life.
Absolutely.
You don't relinquish your power anymore. And that is a message that needs to be echoed hardcore right now. Because if most people had the accountability in their life, or an accountability partner or something, then they would all be raising their standard.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, if you're listening to this and you're living a life and you're hearing this and it's resonating with you, and you don't take accountability, that's on you.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And this is the reason why, you know, Fletcher's putting this out. This is why I want him on here, because when it hits, you know, the thousands of people that it's going to, when you hear this, now you have an obligation. You have a responsibility to yourself and to your family to go live a better life and to raise your standards. And that's just my personal belief. You can argue with me, send me an email. I don't give a shit. That's just my personal belief. You know.
Right. Yeah. Right on. Well said.
Fletcher, if anybody who's going, hey, you know, I do want to start to change the direction of my life, what would be some good places to look for as far as resources?
Sure. So first of all, get in touch with me. You can reach me at FletcherEllingson.com or thepracticeoffeelinggood.com. And I got a bunch of free resources right there on my website. You can watch some of my YouTube videos or sign up and get my free online course. This is not just filler. This is not just light stuff. This is actual material that I use with my clients. All right. So you can get a preview of or some direction of where to go. And then YouTube is full of all sorts of golden stuff. I mean, just, you know, put in, how do I change my life? How do I change my thinking? Or go read the classics, right? Napoleon Hill. I mean, or get into Tony Robbins if you haven't. Liz Mel Robbins or Oprah Winfrey, yeah. Deepak Chopra, David Baer. There's no shortage of people out there who have put out golden content, and there's so much free stuff out there, right? If you're not willing to invest, there's a ton of free stuff. And then, but like you said, accountability. Ultimately, work with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, invest in yourself. Yes, it's going to cost money, but when you spend money on yourself for personal development, your life will begin changing because you're literally investing in you. And it is extremely powerful.
I totally agree. And I wish that somebody would have grabbed me in my 20s and told me to invest in myself. And I've always been an avid reader, and you know, I grew up with spiritual parents. I'm grateful for that, that I've always had an open-minded perspective on life, but I didn't get out of my victimhood until I was probably about 28. And it really, I felt like it set me back 10 years. You know, I'm grateful I have it at 28, you know, the mindset. And since that time, I probably invested about 10% of my income into my personal development the last 10 years. But you know, I try to tell people, hey man, when I was 25, I made $34,000 a year. You know, to where I'm at now, it's just, you know, it's, I can't even tell people. I'll tell you, is I'm more than 10x my income. So, you know, but it all had to do when I got serious about changing my life and who I wanted to become. Yes. And I wanted to grow into the version of who I was supposed to become. And I'm still doing that every day. But I had to make up the mind, like, I'm just not going to settle for this anymore. And when I did, and I did the work and I put in the money, shit, I mean, it's unbelievable how much more money I made. It's unbelievable.
I love it. And that is the consistent story that you hear from people who consistently invest in their mindset.
Yeah, it's it. Fletcher, I'd love talking to you. Anybody listening on the podcast, on any of the platforms, or if you're watching this on YouTube, I will have all of Fletcher's contact information for his website and to be able to check out his courses. And I think you said you're on social, so we'll post any social links as well. Fletcher, thank you so much. Any parting words for the audience?
Yeah. Like what we said, when you begin taking radical responsibility for every area of your life, you will find yourself empowered in a way that you may have never, ever experienced, and your life will radically change. So begin living the life you want to live now and invest in yourself.
Perfect. Fletcher, thank you so much for joining me.
You bet. Thank you, Tizer.